RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yes, you are indeed in the loop. Let's go around the NFL here on the program. B. Scott in for the OG John Lopez. And I realized at some point later in the show yesterday that I did not mention Monday Night Football, and I would like to pretend that's because I knew it was about to be some nonsense, but I didn't. And actually, it was the kind of nonsense that I am 100% here for every single time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
good.
I did not anticipate, quite possibly the best team in all of the NFL this season, to have their single worst half of football all year long to none other than the Atlanta Falcons.
It's why they play the games, man. It's why they play the games. It's why they're going back to our show open. It's why the Texans absolutely got to play their guys, because you never know what could happen on any given Sunday or Monday night. And so it ain't no guarantee that the Titans just going to lose to the Jaguars, because we thought it was a guarantee that the Falcons was just for sure going to lose to the Rams. And it could have gone either way.
It very much could have. They got out to the vaunted, if you play Madden, at least the way that I did, to the vaunted 21 skunk in this game. It was a 27-24 victory for the Falcons ultimately. But the Falcons got out pretty early. Shout out to this Falcons defense actually being pretty good for the first time in a very long time.
Made Matthew Stafford have probably his worst game of the year, at least for that stretch.
Yes. Two touchdowns, three interceptions for Matthew Stafford, the Georgia, the number one overall pick out of Georgia. And pick sixes happening in this game. Got out to 21-0. And I was like, at the half, I was like, man, this is crazy. And I was like, it is the Atlanta Falcons. Let me hold on. And the Atlanta Falcons didn't make it Atlanta Falcony. The Rams started walking their way back into this, and slowly but surely this looked like a thing. And then we end up in another Phillip Rivers situation, word to the man, where late in the game you were looking at the possibility of the Rams going, having the ball, being down 3 points. And I believe this starts with like 21 seconds, something to that effect, where they get the ball. Incompletion. We're done here.
Yeah. Yeah, this game had all the elements, because it had the 21-0 skunk, like you mentioned, to start the game. It's got turnovers. It's got intrigue and surprise, so like upset alert. Not only upset alert, but upset blowout alert. But it's also got some, hey, let's wait for the Falcons to do exactly the thing that they do. Let's let them be on brand. And so then you have the unexpected, the absolutely expected, which is the Falcons' mini collapse. You're like, uh-oh, they Falconing now. And then you had ultimately an upset, right? And the Falcons winning this game by not coughing it up at the end. So, like, yeah, it had pretty much everything that you want.
And the funny thing about that portion of this program, the idea of the Falcons Falconing, is that this would have been an instance where it actually behooves them to do so. If not from a petty standpoint. If you'll recall, and I can't even remember the dude's name in this moment, but the Falcons decided to trade their first-round pick in order to trade up in the draft earlier this year.
Yeah.
And acquire a defensive lineman who has not really buoyed their fates all that much.
Yeah, that did happen. And you know what's wild is that the Falcons, not just that, but they've invested a lot on their defense. A lot of gets focused on the Bijan Robinsons and Kyle Pitts of the world and Drake Londons of the world and all those guys. Of course, they obviously drafted a quarterback a couple of years ago. But they've also put a lot of time and energy and effort into that defense that has been up and down, to say the least. And, you know, pretty good last night, to give them credit. But, yeah, that the ROI on that has not exactly been ideal, I would say.
James Pierce. James Pierce Jr. was the dude that they traded up to acquire. Yeah. And so the Rams have the Falcons' first round pick.
Has not made noise, yeah.
And I guess in winning it, they did, I guess, throw a little FU to the Rams because they're like, your pick will be this much worse in that moment. But yes, the Falcons ultimately get a win, and I have left the best for last, which is how about when you situate a team like the Falcons, I understand that they had Michael Penix Jr. as their starter for a long period of time, and they situated their offense for that. Then Kirk Cousins, and they've situated their offense for that. How about you situate your offense for number 7? Yeah. Bijan Robinson, who was phenomenal in this football game and is the reason this happens. He broke a 93-yard run, yes, in which dudes, like typically a 93-yard run for even the best running backs in the league, after a while you're going to get caught. He was either creating ground or holding ground the entire way.
I thought they were about to show it right now on our screen, but like as he got further, he hit that extra gear, almost like a track star. You know how they can like run fast and then hit another gear and be going even faster? It's like he started running.
Hit the kick.
Man, he started running faster. He's incredible, man. And look, Raheem Morris said after the game that Bijan is the best player in the league. Now, that's just him, you know, big up in his guy or whatever. But he's definitely that type of player who could be the best player in the league at some point. Like, it's hard to say that somebody who plays for the Falcons right now, and the Falcons being what they are. But if they ever get good and he's still there, or wherever he ends up or is, and that team is good, he'll be in those type of conversations that Christian McCaffrey has been in the past, that Saquon Barkley was in last year, that Jonathan Taylor was in earlier this year. Of like, is this particular running back the best player in the league? He's got that kind of skill.
You're talking about those dudes. I mean, and you're saying if they get good, he is the type of dude where you use him to make sure that you get good.
Well, that's what I thought they drafted him for.
When they drafted him, I was like, look, and I think it was Bomani Jones who made this, and I was like, yeah, I see it. He could be Marshall Faulk.
Yeah.
Like, he could be that guy. And they have not leaned it. In fact, remember the first year with Arthur Smith where they were just not using him?
Got him fired.
And I was like, why would you buy this thing and not use it?
Yeah. No, I mean, I made the analogy yesterday about, you know, getting a sports car and driving it in a school zone. That was an analogy, by the way, I should mention, that we've previously used about Derek Stingley in his first year playing coverage and playing in Lovie Smith's cover too.
Yeah.
And it's like, this looks like an elite man-to-man corner. What are you doing? So similar fashion with C.J. Stroud, similar thing with Bijan Robinson before recently, or certainly in his first year, Arthur Smith, he should be the offense.
And if you don't believe that, I'll take you to this. In week 18, if Derrick Henry gets 31 rushing yards and Bijan Robinson manages a 55, the NFL will have 4 1,500-yard rushers in a season since 2012. First time since 2012.
So it would be those two, Jahmyr Gibbs, maybe?
Not Gibbs. Oh, okay. Actually, I like this. Let's go ahead and guess. Who are the other two that you would imagine would make the four? One of them you will see this week.
Okay, so Jonathan Taylor.
Correct. He already has 1,559 yards.
So who do we already do here?
Derrick Henry, who is currently at 1,469. He just needs the 31 additional yards that I mentioned. Bijan Robinson, who is now at 1,445 on the season. He just needs 55 yards in their finale. There's one more player who you have already seen. You have played as the Texans, and he had a pretty solid day, if memory serves. I'll need to go back and check it. But also, he did not kill you, I do not believe, this year. But a running back where the team that he's on is just him and his quarterback, and they doing it. They're doing it for Lil Saint.
Oh, James Cook.
There you go. They're doing it for Lil Saint. That's
how,
right.
How close is Rico Dowdle? I thought that was going to be my guess as the last one.
Ooh, that's a good question. Ain't nobody over here thinking about the Panthers for real. But thanks to this game, the Panthers have opened up a bigger window into possibly being an 8-9 champion in the even an 8-9 champion in the NFC South and being in the NFC playoffs, because even if they lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now, if the Atlanta Falcons help them out, it's a three-way tie for the NFC Championship, NFC South Championship, rather, and the Panthers would win that three-way tie.
It is a crying shame. And so would it be a three-way tie of teams with losing records?
Yes, of three 8-9 teams is possible if the Bucs and the Falcons win. Now, of course, the Panthers are just trying to win, be 9-8, and win the division. But they're going to Tampa. That seems like that could be possibly a tall task. If the Atlanta Falcons do this again, we might have an 8-9 champion.
A crying shame. Go ahead and advance.
Crying whoever, shame.
Whoever their opponent is, go ahead and just advance them.
That Tampa Bay Carolina game is going to be absolute cinema. I can already see it happen. It's going to be cinema.
Dude, like
probably bad football. Cinema wise,
like you mean like a Tubi movie or like what are we going for here?
That's I will say though, real quick, that Saturday slate, it looks really good. Like, considering playoff circumstances.
I mean, I feel like that's the objective, right? Like, yeah. You want to make sure that the Saturday games look really good, and you're just throwing a whole bunch of Sunday games. This is just the NFL being like, hey, you're going to watch on a Sunday because it's football, and we're gonna get you on Saturday because we have some interesting stuff. Mind you, those games, just to be very clear, for the Saturday slate of Week 18, if my computer wants to comply, which it does not, are going to be told later, apparently. That is what the computer has told me.
We're going for the slate. Man, don't tell me that they wait for the holidays for the internet to slow down around here.
That's actually the greatest time. It'll be, as we mentioned, the Carolina-Tampa game and then Seattle-San Francisco.
Oh, that is cinema.
Which they will be battling for. Is that not one of the higher seed, if not the one seed? One seed in there?
Got 13-3 and 12-4 going up against each other. Yeah, now this is a Scorsese film right here, Colin. Like this is actual cinema right here. I don't know about the rest of these.
So you got the it's a double feature. The first one being the opening act, and then the real star of the show being Seahawks San Francisco on Saturday.
Correct.
That'll be fun. All right. So as we continue around the NFL, we have a list of finalists to possibly be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In fact, they're modern era finalists, obviously, because you know there's the different distinctions and avenues for teams to be able to make it in. But when it comes to the modern era, there are some guys that are finalists that lead, or rather that are to be considered. And I think the newest additions are Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald. Is it Frank Gore, I think, is also a new addition. And Jason Witten. Those are the four guys that join the other guys in this 15-player panel of the modern candidates. Willie Anderson also there, who was a tackle. Torrey Holt. Eli Manning, who is always going to be a conversation here. And I'm surprised he didn't go in but I was going to put him in first ballot just to get it out of the way because he's going to go in despite the fact that he should not be around there.
Yeah.
Terrell Suggs, Adam Vinatieri, who's going to be in at some point, but I don't know if it'll be now. Reggie Wayne, Kevin Williams, goodness, the defensive tackle.
This is thick.
Darren Woodson still existing here. And then Marshall Yanda, who is not to be forgotten because that is a bad offensive lineman. Like he is a bad man. When it comes to those, who are those names that I rattled off pretty quickly draw your attention, especially of the four that are newest in Jason Witten, Frank Gore, and Larry Fitzgerald, and also Drew Brees?
So I feel like those are all guys except for Drew Brees. Every last one of the rest of them should have to wait. And I would even say, this is going to be a controversial take or not, but Frank Gore...
Oh, you're doing the compiler thing, aren't you?
And Jason Witten even more so. I don't view either one of those guys as Hall of Famers. I view them as Hall of Longevity. Hall of very, very good, very solid for a very long time. And if that's good enough to get you into the Hall of Fame, don't let me be the hater that says no. But I just don't view those guys as Hall of Famers.
And
Frank Gore has the, because he played for so long, has the numbers to be right there in the conversation. But they would have to wait a long. I mean, think about the guys that didn't make it or haven't made it yet that are kind of in this line, like Reggie Wayne. Like, just take Darren Woodson.
I have such a soft spot for Torrey Holt. I feel like he's not appreciated enough when it comes to those Rams teams.
All of those guys should get in before these other guys.
That's fair.
I mean,
except Drew Brees. He's an obvious.
Yeah, Drew Brees. Just go ahead and.
Yeah.
I mean, context required on this thing, but hey, if you have a rule named after you, I think that's an automatic qualifier. The Jason Witten rule. Y'all know about that?
Yeah, but that don't have nothing to do with how great you are. That's
come
just,
on.
His helmet came off.
That's
and he had the audacity. Mind you, I think I respect it. It couldn't be me. the idea of my helmet came off in the car crash sport, and I'm just going to keep going. It's fine. Let's keep playing football. No. Bring that over here. I need that.
Yeah, and I feel like getting the rule named after you is an honor in and of itself. Why we got to do extra?
He said, don't do that.
You know what I mean?
Do you have a bit that you will do, and you're like, I recognize that this is a bit, but I'm doing it anyways for my enjoyment? One of those that I used to do that I have let up on since is I would say that Randy Moss is the single greatest wide receiver in the history of the NFL just because I felt like people did not appreciate him enough. Now, clearly that's asinine. It is obviously Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
But like, you got to understand, Randy Moss is two, and then there's a gap. Like, yeah. he is as close as you get to one yeah. as possible. Another bit that I have is the Frank Gore thing. Like, because I'm so fascinated by the position in football that is already the car crash sport, that is the most car crashian.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm going to do this forever.
Yeah.
And be pretty good at it.
I feel like my bit is not as sports specific, but it's the whole, if you spit on somebody, they should be allowed to kill you. You should be justifiably killed. Like, if I, as much as I like you two guys, if I find out that y'all spit on somebody and that they killed you, I'm just going to move on to the next. I'm saying, man, I showed it like old buddy. But I will not fight for justice for you.
So you expected Dak to, do that to Jalen
Carter. Not saying that I expected it. And I'm not saying that I'm even rooting for it. I'm just saying that if Dak had killed Jalen Carter right there on the football field, I would have just kept it moving. I would have gone and made me a sandwich.
And might I say, he would have had to have killed him because have you seen the video of him at PCB, Panama City Beach?
Yeah. No, fighting wouldn't have been the way.
Yeah, that would have been the answer.
He would have needed to find a weapon.
That wouldn't have been the answer.
He would have needed to find a weapon. That bit, and then also that I think there are way too many handicap spots up on the roof here at the station.
A very specific and particular bit.
Yes, very specific. But I mentioned it because there's somebody on our text line, somebody in our audience that, you know, I'm generally like to run with our audience. Somebody hates me for this bit.
For that one.
Like, hates me for real with a passion. You park in handicapped spots? I was mostly kidding. Mostly.
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 That mostly is not helping you out, my boy.
No, it's
mostly.
Not.
Mostly.
I mean, on the roof at a radio station.
Well, it's not just a radio station. There's more people that exist in this building.
I get it, but let me tell you, I've been at this building for 6 years. I ain't never seen 14 spots fill up the handicap spots. Never more than two.
I can tell he's passionate about this, Reggie, because yesterday he literally gave me a tour of like where all the old stuff used to be.
Turned into Greenway Plaza OG.
I like it.
Very suddenly.
No, look, I feel like the places where you have an opportunity to be an OG, you have to lean in. You lean into it. I've said this often. You talk about bits, not quite a bit, but something that I've long held as a belief. Is I can't wait to be old, because I feel like when it comes to being an old dude or an old woman, I guess in that instance as well, the benefits there are wonderful. Now, obviously, there's some downsides that you'll have to deal with, but I love the idea that you could just accost somebody's time at will.
Yeah.
You could just be walking into the grocery store and be like, young man, can you help me out with this? And let me tell you about 1957.
Yeah.
And they can't do nothing about it. If they walk away, they're a bad person,
yeah.
period.
Yeah.
I love that. There
used to be nothing but trees here.
Oh, that's a great one. That is one that I have not realized.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Very
back often. In my day.
Yeah.
Frank Gore is Earl Campbell with longevity, the A32 says. We might be doing a lot there. I feel like we might be.
Earl Campbell?
I feel like we might be doing too much there.
I mean, he had strong legs.
He sure did.
I'll give him that.
He sure did.
Earl Campbell's much. That's a lot.
Houston? Yeah.
That's a lot.
Now, I will say, going back, because I didn't think about this when you were saying it, and the text line helped me recall it. 713, they said, Torrey Holt is not a better player nor had a better career than Larry Fitzgerald. I will not say that. I would like to see Larry go in first ballot, because when we talk about all-time wide receivers, I was telling you about my bit with Randy Moss. Number three in my book is Larry Fitzgerald.
All-time?
Yes.
Ooh, that's a hot take.
That is very
hot. He didn't have good quarterback the first.
No, he didn't.
He put up a Hall of Fame career without a good quarterback.
He's a Hall of Famer. I definitely don't agree that he's the top three or four wide receiver of all time, and don't necessarily feel that passionate about him being a first ballot. Like they made T.O. wait after the first, but he's not T.O. to me. So he can wait a year. Right. I'm with you though. He definitely needs to get in, but he can wait a year.
Fair enough. All right, that's around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Tuesday. Coming up next, Aaron Wilson kind of seemed to confirm yesterday something that we thought, and an Ian Rappaport, remember, report from earlier in the year. Looks like Joe Mixon is, at least for the purposes of reporting, done for the season. Is he done with his career here in Houston? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate your big voice, man, but you got the name wrong. B. Scott in for the OG John Lopez today. In fact, me and B. Scott were just chopping it up in around the NFL. We were talking about how there's going to be four 1,500-yard rushers if we get some good performances out of one Derrick Henry, which I am anticipating versus the Steelers, and Bijan Robinson in Week 18. And that's the first time that it's happened since 2012, which what does that say about the league? The league is running a football, baby, and there's a certain like vacillation that happens in the league when it comes to, you know, when teams decide to be more aired out, more fast, more speedy versus being more run the football, more physical. And it feels like right now in the league that has been the trend, is that teams are going to running the football, being physical, and working off of that. Some of that is what defenses have done in putting the Iron Dome up that Vic Fangio has helped bring into the league with the two high safeties and the covered shells. And some of it is also defenses playing with a lot of nickel, a lot of five defensive backs. So there's only, but, you know, having, what is the math on that? Six?
Six, yeah.
Five, six in six, the seven, box six, as opposed yep. to having seven, eight guys in the box being big and strong. And so, yeah, you're seeing that happen. And that's such an interesting dynamic that happens. But that's one of the reasons why you got to love, one, Jalen Petrie being a big nickel and playing with that physicality. But then also the way that this defense plays in general, they are just dogged. The physicality, whatever the size is, does not matter. They in there hitting. They in there taking on blocks, all of that willingly.
I made the point, too, while we were in the break that, you know, despite what they might tell you, most guys don't really want to tackle. And even if they do, they don't want to do it, to use Marshawn Lynch, over and over again. But this defense, and credit to them, talking about the Texans defense, that is, they seem like they kind of do. Like, they have maniacs. Seth Payne did a video like this on his YouTube where he's talking about how maniacal the Texans defense is. And really from just front to back, like their defensive line, all of those guys are maniacs. The linebackers, certainly Azeez Al-Shaair, we've seen plenty of examples of it.
Hey, shout out to Henry Toto.
I was just about to get to that. Henry Toto, who yesterday we did, who had the most impressive game, and I got cute and went with Derek Stingley. I think the actual answer to that was Henry Toto. He had an amazing game. But even the defensive backs on this team, Kamari Lassiter, Jalen Petrie, these are guys, and I know Kalen Bullock is more known for his athleticism, not for tackling, but he does actually seem willing for the most part. That's not his strong suit. But Jalen Petrie, Kamari Lassiter, guys are maniacs. I love seeing it from this defense, how they approach tackling. Even when they miss some, it seems like they really want to tackle, contrary to my belief of how a lot of defensive players actually operate, especially on the back end. But then also, to the point about this running back renaissance, I'm having a lot of fun watching running backs do their thing.
Dude, I don't think that there's much more, fun. There's not a single thing, I'll go ahead and say this, in sports that is more demoralizing than, you know what I'm about to do? I know what I'm about to do. And what I'm about to do is run through your face.
Yeah.
Shout out to Marshawn Lynch one more time.
Yeah.
That is where the league is. Like, the reason why football dominates in America, if we are honest with ourselves, we enjoy the violence.
Yeah.
Right? We could talk about the tactics, and I don't remember what coach it was that was like, football is nothing but life marked out in 100 yards. That all sounds good. We like the violence, baby. We like the violence. It ain't nothing more violent than you right there. Come get me, because I'm running through you.
Yeah, it's something to be said for how the game evolved into a passing game, to a largely a passing game, where at least that's what a lot of the entertainment value is predicated on. But let's not forget, and this happened before any of us in here were born, but what people fell in love with about the game was exactly that, the violence. And so we still get to, and then the running back position specifically, I think, encourages said violence, right? Because he's trying to run through your face and you got to meet force with force, right? And so, yeah, man, Derrick Henry on the other side of you, you got to make that bit. Are you about it or are you not? You know, because you're about to get tested. He's coming right at you and he's Derrick freaking Henry. And a lot of guys run with a similar style. I know Bijan Robinson is a different type of style, but strong, fast, athletic, elusive, all of those things. Christian McCaffrey, I think, because he's so good as a receiver, underrated for how much of a bowling ball he actually is and how difficult he is to tackle.
Dense dude.
Yes, very much so. So, I don't know, man. I'm having a good time watching this running back renaissance and watching the defensive players have to adjust to, oh, everything is, we're kind of planning around air raid, and I'm using that in air quotes because I know it's not air raid, but we're planning for that type of style of football. And then here comes somebody going to just run it right into our face.
And that's what's been funny about the Texans this year, if you allow me to bring it back home, is they, and I think this is very clearly from D'Amico Ryans down, they wanted to be kind of that style of team.
Yeah.
I think they see what is pretty evident in the league, which is the zag has been, all right, well, you know, a lot of nickel, smaller, faster defenders. And so you zig by going, all right, well, we are going to run the football and force you to be able to stop the run. Except this year, you did not get to be outside playing with all the fun of Derrick Henry, yep, and Jonathan Taylor and James Cook and Bijan Robinson, because your equivalent was Joe Mixon, and he ain't come outside to play.
Yeah.
And now we are headed into week 18, and we have gotten no clarification on what the injury initially was, what the update is, whether he's 60% healed or not. Shout out to the Astros.
Yeah, we didn't even get a Yordan level update.
And remember,
it's bare minimum, baby.
Remember, there was weeks ago, Ian Rapoport was like, yeah, he's not going to play this year. And Joe Mixon got on his social media, on his Twitter or X account or what have you, and was like, y'all just calling a cap, essentially.
Yeah.
Where the cap at? Like, Joe Mixon has not played. It's hard to believe that he will play, because even if he gets back to practice, which he is not, the ramp up is necessary, and I don't even know if there's enough football for you to ramp up to. So at this point, Joe Mixon is clearly not playing this year.
Yeah.
And I kind of just want to, like, mourn that, if you will.
Had you not already? And look, I have dealt with grief, man. I understand mourning is not a one season thing, but I long came to accept that Joe Mixon, like, I even had a little fun with it when I forget what game that was, when I saw him in the concourse. But I'm like, man, that dude not playing. You know, I guess we had fun with it at the time, but he not playing. And then when I hear Payne and Pendergast talk to Texans general manager Nick Caserio, there was no optimism. Like, he stopped short of saying everything but Joe Mixon will not play for us again, certainly not this year. But when he says stuff like, we're getting pretty late in the game here, that's pretty, I mean, if you're reading between the lines, that's pretty close to that guy's not going to play for us this year. So, yeah, no, I would have liked, I'm with you on mourning it just from the standpoint of, would have liked to have seen Joe Mixon play for this team at some point. And certainly it would have been a great story if they could go into the playoffs, especially after what they've done this year, responding to the 0-3 start, to the 3-5 start with an 8-game winning streak, to win double-digit games with an opportunity to win the division at the end of the season. And then sort of the cherry on top is, oh, yeah, we're going to add Joe Mixon, a fresh Joe Mixon for the playoff run. We might have to go on the road. We need this type of body. Joe Mixon, all the credit in the world to Woody Marks for what he's done as a rookie. But if you just, you have to look at these guys physically. Joe Mixon, like, there's nothing like him on this roster right now in the running back room.
That's the
thing. He's tall. Yeah. He's big. Like, I remember the first time I saw Joe Mixon, I was like, is that Joe Mixon?
Right.
Is that really what he looks like? He's a big dude. So they don't have that. It would have been great to have had it, but Texas is going to have to figure out a way without him. And now begs the question is if he was a one and done, if we'll ever see him again in a Texans uniform.
Yeah, and it sucks because what we saw of him was him putting on a Superman cape week in and week out for 12 weeks, 13 weeks, because he missed five in the midst of there. But he just putting out the Superman cape, and I've forgotten the playoff game, so apologies for not adding those to this, what we're talking about, but that was cool. And I also, in mourning him, and we kind of knew that this was not the case. I had given up the hope that it would happen, but now that it feels as official it's going to get, you got somebody local in town and Aaron Wilson of KPRC2 saying it as well, in addition to the National and the Time and all the things that we talked about.
And have not noticed, unless y'all have seen it, have not noticed Mixon calling cap on this one.
No. What I also feel like I miss is something that was very evident on the defensive side of the football for the Chargers game, which was someone like Azeez Al-Shaair for the offense. You saw the difference leader in not having Azeez when it came to versus the Raiders. And then when he got back, you're like, oh, there's a difference. I think you know that Joe Mixon serves as some of that for the offense. We felt it last year.
Yeah, I would even go a step further and say most of that, more than some. If not most, definitely more than some. A lot of that. Like, commands respect. I used to say last year, man, it would be great if the offensive line played with a similar attitude as the running back, you know, and that was last year, of course. But beyond just the play, and the play is important, in the background, that was somebody that could pull anyone's coat and that everybody would listen to, and he ain't around. So that part is definitely legitimate.
And I don't want to do too much mourning without appreciating that this team's going to the playoffs, and some of the reason why they're doing that is because they've been able to run the ball sufficiently. You got to give me a little bit to be able to be the Squidward in the SpongeBob meme where he's looking out the window at watching them frolic. Like, I am watching Derrick Henry do this and Bijan Robinson do this last night and go, damn, we have somebody on the payroll who should be able to do that. But unfortunately, he's not capable of doing that. But salute to Woody Marks, now to Jawar Jordan. I'll even give a salute to Nick Chubb in the way that at least they are being sufficient in helping you run the football in this era where it feels like teams are running the football more.
Hey, I co-sign all of that. I just find it fascinating how this team has won 8 straight games and they do nothing spectacular on offense. Nothing.
What's the closest thing that you would say to spectacular?
I've said it. Possess the ball. Possess the ball. Don't turn it over, which this past game was not the greatest example of that, right? Because they did give the ball away. But just throughout the totality, the best thing that the Texans do offensively is possess the ball.
Mm.
It's a fact. I mean, y'all can go look this up.
Like, no, you're right.
If you look at their numbers, they're only in the top 10. And this was a couple of weeks ago when I was looking at this. But they're only in the top 10 in time of possession and not giving the ball away.
From the 281, was the Joe Mixon signing a failure? No. That's the crazy thing. The answer is still no.
I'd do it again.
Like, the answer is no, because he carried you last year.
Ask yourself, would you do it again? And I would be shocked if you were to say that you wouldn't.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Tuesday. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping. Something happened this weekend for another player on this Texans offense that I think gives you some of those Joe Mixon vibes. And I want to ask you about that. Plus, did the West just open up? We'll talk about it next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here in the Loop on this Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. B. Scott in for the OG John Lopez. If you're watching on the YouTube, you can see that I mean that in a less than literal sense in this moment, but he'll be back in just a moment. But while we get into What's Poppin', it is worth, it isn't worth doing this, but I'm going to serve myself in this moment while B. Scott makes his way back to the table here. Shout out to my Nigeria Super Eagles, who are currently leading 3-1 in their third group stage match in AFCON. Again, if you have BN Sports, which very small selection of people, Fubo, I would encourage you, if you care at all about soccer, just throw on BN Sports in the morning if you just got a free TV, because it is wild soccer. It is like the most exaggerated of soccer that you can watch. And if you don't like that, then I know you don't like soccer. What I know that myself, B. Scott, Colin, all very much enjoy is Rockets basketball. They got a big time victory. Well, let me not lie. I don't know how I would call it a very big, but it was a win. And I think that if you wanted to call it big, it is only, or maybe not only, but it is largely through the lens of you got three straight wins to end the calendar year for the Rockets, which helps you knock off what was this weird streak of losing a game or two and then winning one and losing a game or two and winning one.
Also losing them to bad teams.
That is fair.
Like that was the biggest, because this is going to be a blip on the Rockets radar overall.
If they keep doing things correctly,
right?
You can't say that definitive, can you?
Well, even if they suck, you know, at the very least, they didn't lose to the Pacers to end the calendar year. So nobody's going to really remember the essence of this game. But like in the moment, for me, the significance of it is, okay, we spent the month of watching you lose to folks like the Jazz, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Clippers. Stop all that. Stop doing that. Just flat out. Just keep it simple. Don't do that. Don't lose to those teams. And so they had started to develop a troubling pattern of not getting up for the good teams, even to the point to where I think after the Kings game it was, where Ime Udoka got to the podium and said, hey, I need to do a better job of getting these guys up to go against lesser opponents. And that's a horrible sentence. A horrible sentence for a team with championship aspirations.
Yeah.
What you mean lesser opponents, or you got to do a better job of getting them, having them get up? It's largely a young team outside of Kevin Durant and Jeff Green. Everybody else, and I guess Steven Adams is getting up there too now, but everybody else is relatively young. What you mean you can't get up for the Pelicans?
Well,
get up to at the very least not to get embarrassed by the Pelicans,
certainly,
by DeMar DeRozan's Sacramento Kings. What are we doing? Dennis Schroeder hitting game winners against you? Like, are we for real or are we not? That's all I'm asking. That's what I'm trying to figure out. So you got to start with the basics here of beating teams like this. Can't have letdowns like that against teams like this. And so that was the significance of last night to me, handling business the way you should.
Sure. And to Ime, the point that you were making about Ime about getting guys up for the game, I do think, though, that for a coach, knowing the way that this roster is constructed, it very much, I can easily see how it could become a secondary thought or fall into the background when the likes, when you're supposed to have the likes of Tari Eason, Dorian Finney-Smith, because I think those are your engine guys. Those are your guys that keep, establish the tone and keep the tone. As we've seen in the last few games from Tari Eason, as he's returned, as you've seen in the last couple of games from Dorian Finney-Smith to a lesser extent, because he's trying to find his proverbial sea legs here in this season and here with the Rockets. I think that those guys are, and it's nice to have two of them because then you can always have one on the court in theory, but I think that those guys are going to be the guys that make it so that Ime does not have to go to the guys and make sure that they are up and ready. Those guys are going to take on that task.
Yeah, I love your point about Tari Eason and Dorian Finney-Smith because not only do you have two of them, which means you can always have one of them on the court, but it means more likely than not you have one of them on the court with Amen Thompson, right? And so now you've got two, at the very least, two plus to high level to elite defenders on the floor. I was talking about this yesterday when we had the Tari Eason in the starting lineup discussion versus, you know, Josh Okogie in there, who's filled in admirably for his role. But you put in Tari Eason and join him with Amen Thompson, and those guys can take turns on the best and second best perimeter players on the other team. And then Dorian Finney-Smith in that mix as well, all three of them. I mean, it is hell on earth trying to do something against this defense, against this Rockets defense.
It is. It is indeed. And so the Rockets got a 126-119 game. Shout out to Amen Thompson also.
Yes.
Having some offensive impact here.
He's been excellent lately.
They'll be back in action on the 1st, which is Thursday, facing off against the Brooklyn Nets in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. Some, I guess, breaking news, for lack of a better term. It happened a few hours ago. Talk about hell on earth. This is a bad look. It's a very, very bad look. So keep that tone in mind when I get to it. Stephon Diggs has been a guy who people have talked bad about him as some level of, you know, cancer or, you know, bad teammate in locker rooms. And it's always felt like it's been overplayed, especially when you got a chance to see it up close and personal here. You especially being in those locker rooms, seeing him be a veteran. And it felt very much like he was doing that to the large degree, and he was getting love for it around the league there in New England with the Patriots and helping Drake May.
It was similar to the Joe Mixon thing we were talking about earlier. Like, those were the leaders on the offensive side in the locker room. Some combination of Joe Mixon, Stephon Diggs, and I think to a lesser extent even Dalton Schultz, who is still here. But yes, I think it is worth noting that he was not just a player on this team. He was a leader for that team last year in the locker room.
And now, as of today, some really nasty nasty happenings that are going to make it so that all that goodwill that it feels like he has engendered goes away. And probably rightfully so, if the allegations are correct, as New England Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs is facing felony charges of strangulation or suffocation and assault pertaining to an incident that occurred allegedly on December 2nd. So the 32-year-old had his motion hearing this morning in Dedham, Massachusetts. So this is what's happening with it, right? Shout out to Boston 25, who was first to report this. But this is bad. This is very bad.
Yeah, yeah. And I haven't seen who it is necessarily that he is accused of strangulation against or battery or assault against. And I don't even want to venture to guess. Of course, we all know that he just had a baby. He actually has just had multiple babies with multiple women, and I'm not even judging him for that. I'm just pointing that out. But just to say that there are multiple potential romantic partners in his life, most notably Cardi B. Of course, I think everybody knows that at this point. I'm not going to even venture to guess who this is or what it's about exactly. But it also, I think the reason for that is that it doesn't matter.
Correct.
It does not matter if he strangled, allegedly, a famous person, a non-famous person, a man, or a woman. This is just an awful, awful space to be in for one of the top seeds in the AFC. And what has been one of the feel-good stories of the NFL, the New England Patriots resurgence under a new regime with Mike Vrabel, Drake May, and then bringing in Stephon Diggs to kind of help with the leadership vacuum there. This is definitely a stain on that, not just from a football standpoint, but more importantly, you know, the human implications of it all.
We now turn to our information desk, Colin Neal, sitting at it today. Colin, what you got for me?
So, according to Boston 25 News on their website, Diggs attorney Michael DeStefano made a remote appearance in Dedham's District Court on Tuesday seeking to have the police report impounded, whatever that means, arguing that the details should remain sealed. There apparently was a financial, Diggs offered a financial offer.
Oh, he basically tried to pay to keep this out of the situation.
I never heard of this keeping a police report impounded.
Oh, well, yeah, we have the perfect person sitting in for this.
I think it's just a fancy word. You read the other word, it's sealed, impounded, get it out of the way so people can't actually.
So it doesn't become in the public domain.
Yeah, right? This is a public record. Whenever something happens with the police, it's public record. If they're trying to get it impounded, that the context clues will tell you that all they're trying to do is get it thrown out.
Which I understand that if you are successful in having this impounded, you do not have the details out, which can be very bad. But the desire to have it impounded in and of itself means that, again, to quote one Stephen A. Smith, this is bad. This is very bad. Like, that does not reflect very well. And I understand that our legal system operates on the premise of innocence until proven guilty. This looks very awful. And while I, as you made it very clear that the human element, the morality element of this is to be considered first and foremost, I think that we've done that enough. If you agree, I would like to move to the football element, where that's not very helpful for the first place New England Patriots now, is it?
No, because he's been good for them, right? I was trying not to lean too much into the football element, but that is it. Like, he has been good for them. This is obviously going to be a quote-unquote distraction because people are going to be asked about it.
And he'd been good about, like, mitigating the distraction element of questioning in the locker room.
Yeah, well, he is a pro. I can tell you this from firsthand knowledge. He is a pro at both answering questions, which I really mean is not answering questions in front of the media. He is artfully
not answering questions.
Yes, he fits perfectly with the Patriots in the sense of he is not going to give you much, certainly if he doesn't want to. When it comes, I mean, y'all remember the whole pink's powder substance in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he navigated that with the press like an absolute pro. And then on top of that, you know, he only talks about as much as they make him and is not afraid to get fined either. We've actually joked behind the scenes in the Texans press corps that if Stephon Diggs had remained healthy for the entire season, he would have absolutely gotten fined for not talking. Because he just wasn't into, he was not into us, which I don't blame him. I get it.
That the apple does not fall far from the coaching tree,
yes,
of sorts when it comes to the Texans in that regard. I did make mention of this, so I do want to throw this in here, although we are not going to have the time to talk about this in the way that we probably should. The West might be more open because the Denver Nuggets yesterday, Nikola Jokic had his knee buckle. Hyperextension in the Nuggets game yesterday versus the Miami Heat, and he left the game. Then you could see him hobbling in a fan video walking into the locker room. He suffered a knee hyperextension. It's going to be reevaluated in 4 weeks, so he's going to miss at least a month, and that's when the reevaluation happens. Now, it did not, when it first happened, I was like, ooh, is this going to be something in the knee that ends up requiring surgery or ends the season? Because that would be very bad for them. They can't, like, the Nuggets are a good team, but they ain't doing nothing without that man at the center of it. Him out for a month at least is not really good for them, and it could be good for the Rockets, who, as much as we view them to be good, they had slipped a little bit into or out of the teams that would inevitably host a first-round matchup or at least have a home court advantage in the first four spots.
Yeah, but I anticipate that race, the race behind Oklahoma City for two through four to host, is going to be thick and competitive all the way throughout. Now, to your point, this is we're talking about the best player in the world in Nikola Jokic.
By most people's estimations, yes.
Yeah, and I think most people would be correct in that if that is their estimation. So this is significant. I'm obviously rooting for the Rockets, so it could be a good thing for the Rockets. But I do not like this because I enjoy watching this guy play. It's actually kind of maddening a little bit because you're like, man, how is he that good and doesn't really seem to be trying that hard? He doesn't have any kind of motor about him, but he's the greatest player in the world. I think it must be nice.
He's come around in the right time where the game has become less vertical and more horizontal. Yeah. So he does not have to be that type of guy. And then he's just immensely skilled.
And he's big as hell. That helps.
That
well.
Sure does.
So
it sure does.
All
right.
All of that.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's what's popping. More things to talk about. And we'll give you any updates that we see as we keep going. But coming up next, let's do a little bit of a coaching evaluation on the Texans. How are you feeling about the head coach and the coordinators for this Texans team in this moment? 713-572-4610. We talk about it next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.